Okay, today's daf is Yivamos Daf Pei Hei. We began the ninth parak of Maseches Yivamos yesterday. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Pei Dalet and Beis. We're in the middle of discussing when there is an Isser for two people to marry each other, when there's an Isser of, let's say, a Chalol marrying Kohenes, or Kohenes marrying a Chalola, a Kohen marrying a Chalola. Who's the Isser on? Is the Isser on only the man, or is the Isser on the woman as well? So we're going to continue to discuss in general when there are Isurim in the Torah, specifically the Isurim that relate to people marrying each other, whether the Isur applies to both men and the woman the same, or the Isur applies separately to the man and the woman. The Gemara is also going to discuss, we mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday, that when one marries a Shnia La Arayos, the penalty, the woman gets penalized that she does not get her Ksuba, even though when one marries someone who's Nisa Da Araisa, they do get the Ksuba. So we're going to discuss whether the Shnia gets Ksuba even from whether the Shnia does not even get a ksuba from the Yavam, if she's not even a problem with the Yavam, she's only Asura Labaila, would we say that she doesn't even get a ksuba from the Yavam, or would we say no, that's only a din in the husband, it's not a din in the Yavam? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three explanations why it is that by a Shnia she doesn't get a ksuba, but by a real bona fide Isidar Raisa, she does get a ksuba. So we have three different Shitas, or potentially two and potentially a third different shita, and then the Gemara is going to suggest five nafkaminas between the different shitos as to why it is that the shnia does not get a ksuba, whereas the Yisr Daraisa does get a ksuba. We left off though on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and we are holding at Masav Ravin Bar Nachman, a little more than that, right? Okay, I'm going to start from there again anyway. Masav Ravin Bar Nachman. So it says the Gemara, Masav Ravin Bar Nachman, Lo Yichu, Melamed Sheisha Musheres Al Yidei Ish. From the fact that it says Lo Yikachu twice in the Pasuk, so we see that the woman is a Kohenes, is Musheres Al Yidei Ish, that she's not allowed to marry the Chalal either, that it's her Isser to marry a Chalal. So this is a Kasha, because we said yesterday that it's not the woman's Isser, it's only the man's Isser. It says Gemara, Amarava, Kol Hecha Duhu Musar, Hi Musheres, Ve Kol Hecha Duhu Lo Musar, Hi Lo Musheres. No, what it means is that wherever the Kohen is Musar, meaning Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, so she's also Musaris. The Chalala would not be allowed to marry the Kohen. But wherever there's no Isser on the guy, he's a Chalal. He has no Isser to marry a Kohenes, so she's not Musar, she has no Isser either to marry him. Meaning she, as a Kohenes, has no Isser to marry the Chalal. Frak the Gemara, Vahame Hachanafka. Is this where you really derive this idea? We already know that a woman is included in the Yisr from Rabbi Damarav. Dam Rabbi Damarav, Chain Tam Deber Rabbi Shmuel, Ish O Isha. The Torah uses the words Ish O Isha, and we learn from there Ish O Isha Kiasu Mikol Chatos Adam, that Hishva Kasuv Ish al Ish, Lekalonshin Shabbat Torah, that we equate men and women for all the Yisurim in the Torah. So women are included in every Yisur in the Torah. We know women are pater from certain mitzvahs asay in the Torah. From mitzvah shazman grama, women are pater. But when it comes to Yisurim Shabbat Torah, when it comes to los asays in the Torah, Hishva Kosav Ish al Ish, men and women are included equally for all the Yisurim in the Torah. So why isn't that enough of a Joshua? Why do I need a separate limud over here of lo yikachu, to tell me that the woman is Musar as well? Says there are two possibilities. First, imeyahi havamina lava shava lakol, lava shava bakol. I would think that yes, a woman is included in every issa in the Torah when it's not an issa that relates to kahuna, it's an issa that relates to everybody. Avalav sheino shava bakol, but a love of kahuna, chalala, of a zona and a chalala to a kohen, so I would think that's not a lava shava bakol, so a woman would not be included. That's why I need this drasha. Frak the Gemara, but even without that, wouldn't we have known a lava sheino shava bakol anyway? Because v'arei tuma the lav she'in shava b'kol, tuma is not a lav that applies to everybody. It's only an iser for kohanim. V'taima dekas rachman b'nei aron v'lo b'nos aron. And the only way I know that female kohanos are allowed to become tummy to a mace is because we have a special drasha b'nei aron v'lo b'nos aron, which means absent of that drasha, halav hachi, had we not had that drasha, havamin nashim chayavos, the assumption would have been that women would be included in the isser of tuma, even though it's not a lava shava bakal, my time alav mishum Rabbi Dom Rav, and isn't that based on Rabbi Dom Rav that hishva kos vishalish lekalon shin shabatara? So don't tell me you need lo yukachu for the lav sheino shava bakal. We already include lav sheino shava bakal apparently just from hishva kos vishalish. Says Gemara lo digarmin and milo yukachu. We would have learned it from lo yukachu, meaning from isha isha, we would not have known that that a woman would be included in the isser of tuma. Had we not had bnei aron velo benosar, we would have thought a woman would be included in the isser of tuma because we would have learned it from lo yukachu, which it says by the kohen, by the isha zona chalala etc. for the kohen. So inochinami isha isha only teaches me about a lava shava b'kol. Ikadami, another explanation why we need both drashas is kicha tzrich leisal gadai dechamina ligmar mituma kamash malan, that from tuma we see that a woman is not included in the isser. So one might have thought, had we not had lo yikachu twice, one might have thought, oh, so you see from tuma that whenever you have a lav that's eino shava b'kol, whenever you have a lav that's not going to be for everybody, you see that that a woman is not included in such an isser. So that's why I specifically need a drasha lo yikachu twice by when it comes to a zonah chalala marrying a kohen to tell me that a woman is included in that isser even though it's lav sheino shava b'kol. There's a comment the Prima Gadim has in his Psicha Kalelas, Minchas Chinuch says this as well, that proof from Yudam Amarav that if the Torah would not mashvei isha lish the kolon shem Torah, a woman would be potter from los haseis as well. So you see, so maybe a woman is only included in lavin that have an onesh, meaning since we only have, the only way we know that women are included in all los haseis is from this drasha isha isha ki asu mikol chatos ha'adam, and that's talking about isurim that involve an onesh. So if you can assume that the default position is that kol ha'Torah kula applies to men and women equally, and it's only that we need a limud to tell me that women are putter from its seishas mangrama, so good. So then you can say women are chayiv in all los haseis. But if you're going to say you need a limud to tell me that women are included in los haseis, then you have to limit their inclusion to where that limud exists, and that limud only exists in a place where we have an onesh. So it could be that a woman is only in nisrabe in lavin that have an onesh, but a lav shein bo maisa, where there's no malchus, maybe a woman is not chayiv in a lav shein bo maisa. So Menuchas Chinuch says you could we could suggest that we need to be marba women for a lav that's only in los seishas mangrama, because we find that mitzvah seishas mangrama women are potter. So that's where you need a reboy. That's what we need hishva kasav yishal ish for los haseis that are time bound los haseis. But if you have a los hasei that's einas mangrama, it's going to be pasha that women are going to be chayavos, just like a mitzvah hasei sheinas mangrama. So it's going to be low gara. You're not going to say a los hasei is any worse than a mitzvah hasei. But then he's docha that svar because it's mefurish in arusugi that we need a reboy that nashim are the same as men when it comes to yisurei kuhuna, which is and that's a los hasei sheinas mangrama, and still we're using the reboy to say that we need to be told that women are included. So it's very fascinating. We assume always the rules. The rules are women are patur mitzvah shazman grammar the chayiv in all los haseis. But if you look at where we derive that the chayiv in all los haseis, that may limit us in terms of the application of those rules. Okay, Vaitin the Gemara. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Iklu li Hinsavu, La Asri Dravidi Baravin. Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua went to Hinsavu, to the where Ravidi Baravin was the Rosh Yeshiva, apparently. So Bo Minayu, when they asked Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, who were the visitors, they asked them the following shayla: Huzru ksheros li nasi lepsulin alav. Are ksheros included? Do the women who are ksheros have an iser to marry the psulin? Is it an iser on women who are ksheros to marry psulin? The Aruch predictably, whenever it comes to this kind of background information that the Gemara gives you, if this one went to that yeshiva and that's what they asked him, he always asks these kinds of questions. He says, why did they have to wait till visitors came to ask this question? Why didn't they ask this question right away? And he gives this whole fantastic answer, cheshbening with different shitos and shas. Okay, but whatever it is, they asked this question: do ksheros have the iser to marry the psulin or not? So Amar Rav Papa Tinisua Asar Yuchzin Olam Mibavlam. It says in Kiddushin that there are 10 levels of yichus that the Jewish people had when they came back from Golus Bavel. There were 10 levels of yichus: Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Charurim, Charurim means an Evan Meshuchar, Mamzerim, Nesinim, Shtuki, Va'asufi. So what are the ramifications of these 10 levels of Yichus? Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mutar, and levels of Zeh. Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim are all allowed to marry each other. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Charurim, Mutar, and levels of Zeh. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, and Gerim, Meshuchrarim, and Gerim, and Meshuchrarim, and Avadim, Meshuchrarim, are all allowed to marry each other. Gere, Charure, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi, Mutar, and levels of Zeh. Gerim, we're assuming Kal Gerim is not Ikri Kal, and therefore they're allowed to marry a Mamzer. And Avadim Shukharim and Mamzerim and Asinim and Shtukim and Asufim who are Safik Mamzerim, Shtukim Vasufim. So we assume that the Isser to marry a Mamzer is only if a person is a Vadei Kasher, but if a person is a Safik Mamzer, they themselves are allowed to marry a Mamzer, they're all Mutar Lavos Abzeh. V'ilu Kohanos L'chalal Lo Katani. But it doesn't say anything about Kohanos L'chalal. So the Shaila was, is there an Isser on the Kohanos? Apparently not. Says Gemara Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Kol Hecha Dahani Nasi Mehani Vahani Nasi Mehani Katani. Kohen, kiven di ilu bay limits of chalala asirale lo katani. No, we're only going to mention over here things that people are allowed to marry each other when you're allowed to marry in both directions, when it's going to be mutter for people of both the status, the higher status and the lower status, to marry each other in both directions. But Kohen, since if he wanted to marry a chalala, it would be asur for him to marry a chalala. It's not going to get mentioned when we talk about kohanim and chalalim, even if a Kohenis would be allowed to marry a Chalal, because in the reverse direction it wouldn't be true. Asul Kamed Ravidi Baravin, Amarlu, so they came to Ravidi Baravin, they reported this whole conversation to Ravidi Baravin, Amarlu Dardiki, Hachem Ravidam Rav, Lohusruk Sherus, Linasil Psulim. What do you need this whole conversation for? We already have a Masara like this. We already know that Ravidam Rav said that Ksheros have no Isser, there is no Asara for Ksheros to marry Psulim. So this is not an issue at all. Shneos Midivri Sofim. Then the Mishnah had spoken about Shneos Midivri Sofim. In addition to all the Isurim Daraisa, where you could have that the woman is going to be usher to the husband or usher to the avam. You also have shnius midivrei sofrim, where you could have a case where she's usher to her husband, mutter to the avam, usher to the avam, mutter to the husband, usher to both, mutter to both. You could apply for shnius midivrei sofrim as well. What if she's related to her husband in a way that makes her usher to her husband midrabanan, but she has no relationship to the yavam, so she'd be muteres to the Yavam. So does she have a ksuba from the Yavam? Does she get a ksuba from the Yavam? Or does she not get a ksuba from the Yavam? Kivan dot mermar, ksubas al nukse bala rishon lesla. Do we, since we assume that the ksuba goes on Baila Arishon, meaning that the first husband is the one that's responsible for the ksuba, so she should not get a ksuba because she's a shniya la'arayos, and the halacha is that a shniya doesn't get a ksuba, so even though she now has yibum, but she has yibum with the cheshbon of the first husband's ksuba, and she's not entitled to ksuba from the first husband, so maybe she shouldn't get a ksuba. Or maybe no, maybe we should assume that since the halacha is that if the first husband didn't have any money, so the halacha would be that the second husband would bear the responsibility of the ksuba. And the second husband, she has no issur to be with. The second husband is not a shniya la'arayos, so maybe she should be entitled to a ksuba from the second husband. The Rishonim talk about what exactly are we talking about over here? What's the case where the yavam would be paying the ksuba? If we're talking about the yavam was not yet koneser and was never boel her, so he's definitely not chayv in the ksuba. You're only chayv in the ksuba once you're kones, so only then is there a tzad chiyuv for the yavam. That's what the Mishnah says in Lam Chesam Ralph. Kansa harei kishta l'chol davar. Only once they have nisuin, once he does yibum, she's kishta l'chol davar and ksubas al bayla rishon. Kansa, because if he was not koneser, so of course she does not get a ksuba. And if we're talking about where he's kansa and he plans on staying with her and living with her, so then she for sure gets a ksuba because there's an isser. Also lishos mishta below ksuba. It's an isser. The Gemara Ksubas talks about that one is not allowed to stay with his wife without a ksuba. So then, of course, he would have to give her a ksuba. So what you have to say is, the Rishonim point out over here, what you have to say is that we're talking about where he was koneser, he was boel her, he was kone her, he did yibum, and now he wants to divorce her. So the shayla is, does he have to give a ksuba now? So that's what the Gemara is discussing. The Gemara is going to conclude that she does not get a ksuba from the avam, even if he stayed with her for a while before. before divorcing her. It's just that he violated an avera vasu lishosima below ksuba all those years. But there, bottom line is, there's no ksuba, and therefore, unless he wrote one, unless they made a new ksuba, there's no. He's not going to have any chiyuv to pay a ksuba when they actually do get divorced. So the mashmas of the rishonim is that if the second husband doesn't write a ksuba, then she doesn't get a ksuba of Tanai Beis Din, meaning we don't assume, normally if first husband doesn't write a ksuba, typically speaking, when a man doesn't write a ksuba to his wife, there's a Tanai Beis Din, it's an automatically assumed chiyuv, that there's a chiyuv ksuba. And the shmos of these rishonim is that it doesn't work over here, that by a shnia, for the husband and for the yavam, there is no automatically assumed Tanai Beis Din, it would have to be an actual ksuba that gets written. But anyway, so that's the Gemara's shailus. It says, Gemara, Amalur of Sheishas Tanisua, ksubas al nichse baila rishon, vim that the answer is that normally a woman who does yibum, the ksuba is going to be the responsibility of the first husband's estate. But if she was related to the first husband, she was a shnia la rayos to the first husband, then afilu mi yavam ein la, then she doesn't even get her ksuba from the yavam. So it says more mechlal di ika di isla mi yavam. Sounds like sometimes she would get from the yavam. What do you mean? We just got through saying that the ksuba is on the baila rishon, that the first husband is responsible for the ksuba. So what do you mean? If she was a shnia labal, then afilu mi yavam ein la. That implies that normally if she's not a shnia labal, then she does get from the yavam. Who's the one that pays the ksuba? Is it the baal or the yavam? Says Mar Chasur Mechser Vachi Ketani. We're missing an important nekuda in the middle over there. That is how it should say. Ksubas al nechse baal rishon. Really, the halacha is first husband pays a ksuba. The iles la mirishon takina la misheni. If the first husband doesn't have any money, then that's the key line we're adding in. Then takina la misheni, as we mentioned earlier, we made a takana that she's going to get from the second husband, from the yavam. The im haisa shnia labal afilu miyavam einla. But if she was a shnia to the husband, then she wouldn't even be entitled to a ksuba from the yavam. So that's the line that we add in that makes that whole brisa make sense. Baymanei Rabbi Lazar mei Rabbi Yochanan alman el kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hediot yesh lan mizonos o ein lan mizonos. When you have an alman married a kohen gadol grusha chalutza to a kohen hediot, is there a din of mizonos or is there no din of mizonos? Say hey chidami, what exactly is the case? If they're staying together, what do you mean? They're nisadar raisa. He has to divorce her. So what, the rabbanon are going to be misakin that he has to support her? No, don't support her. Get into a fight, argue with each other as much as you want, so that you'll get divorced, because we need them to get divorced. They have to get divorced. It's nisadar raisa. So that can't be the shayla that we're asking. Does she get mizonos when as long as her marriage is still going on, be iser? Now the case is, husband went out of town, and it's an issur d'oraisa for them to be married. Husband went out of town, she borrowed money in order to be able to support herself while he was out of town. May, then what's the din? Mizone tnai ksuba ninhu, midis l'ksuba isla mizone. Do we assume that mizonos is a tnai ksuba, and therefore from the fact that she's entitled to a ksuba, why is she entitled to a ksuba if we want them to get divorced? Because the ksuba is a divorce thing, meaning when they get divorced, she'll get her ksuba. So that's fine, meaning ksuba does not mean that they're going to stay married together. Adraba, the ksuba is a divorce document, so that they'll get divorced and he'll pay her ksuba. So do we assume that mizonos, since it's a tanai ksuba, when he divorces her, he's going to have to reimburse her for the mizonos as well, meaning, but certainly this mizonos is in no way an encouragement for them to stay together. O dilma, ksuba dil mishkal mepak isla. Or maybe no, a ksuba is something that you only get paid on the way out, when the marriage is over. That's what we'll let her take. We'll encourage her to want to get divorced, because we're going to tell her, look, you can collect the ksuba money, that will be on your way out. Mizone dilma teakiv gabe lesla. But by mizonos, the mizonos is paid not when they get divorced. Mizonos has nothing to do with divorce, so maybe she shouldn't be entitled to mizonos, even though in a chinami it's part of the general ksuba agreement to get mizonos. So amalei lesla. So he said, is that she does not get mizonos. Vatanya yeshla, but we have a brisa that says yeshla. Kitanya hilach armisa. When did she get mizonos? If the husband is dead already, if the husband died and he never divorced her, so then she gets mizonos so long long as she's still an almana, like any other almana that gets mezonos from the husband's estate, so long as the ksuba hasn't been paid. That's the halacha. The almana continues to get supported from the husband's estate until the ksuba gets paid. Once the ksuba gets paid, then she doesn't get her mezonos anymore. Ista amar, amar le tanya yeshla, amar le tanya yeshla. Some have the following version of the conversation, that they quoted the brisa that yeshla, that she does get mezonos. Haba amud v'otzeikai velat, but yeshla, how can you say she gets mezonos? Haba amud v'otzeikai, they have to get divorced. Velat tanya yeshla, ki tanya l'achar misa. What do we do with the brisa that says yeshla? Yeah, that brisa is l'achar misa. That brisa is after the husband dies, then we have no problem saying that she's going to get reimbursed the mezonos. So it's interesting, the whole case is that she borrowed money while the husband was out of town, and she wants her to get reimbursed for that money. If you look at Tosos points out the borrowing money thing is not something that a woman could just do and get reimbursed for on her own. That's something, if the husband goes out of town and he didn't leave her any means by which to buy herself food, to go grocery shopping, she has to go to the Beis Din, and Beis Din will be posik mezonos. Beis Din will say, okay, you should borrow this amount of money, this is how much it will cost, and that amount of money is what your husband will owe you. Tosos points out, he loves of achla kodim shapaskul Beis Din, lo ya bal chayv l'shalim, afil loves of Beis Din. If she borrowed without Beis Din determining an amount of money that she's entitled to, then the husband would never be chayv. Kedivrei Rabbeinu Tam b'sof ksubis ka b'kadmu Beis Din paskul masha paskul paskul. V'achem b'ayle im yesh le Beis Din lifsok l'mezonos. So what's the shail over here? I mean, if Beis Din was never posting mezonos and she borrowed money, of course she's not entitled to anything. And if she Tos saying no, the shail is if we're the Beis Din and she comes to us and she says, I would like some mezonos and I'd like to get reimbursed for my husband, so I want to borrow. What does Beis Din tell her? Is Beis Din posik mezonos for her? And when the husband goes to Medina Siam, that's the whole question over here. That's what we're asking, whether she has mezonos. It's a shaila for the Beis Din. It's not the shaila for the woman. Okay, Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Almanu l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, yesh l'ksubos, peros, mezonos, blaos. And almanu marries a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza marries a kohen hedyot, she gets her ksubos, she gets peros, she gets mezonos, she gets blaos, she gets the worn-out clothing, v'hi psula uvlad psula. She becomes a chalala, and her children become chalalim as well. V'kofenos halahotzi, and we force them to get divorced. We do not want this couple to remain married to each other. Shnios mitivrei sofrim, but if the iser in the marriage is nisr mitrabanan, ein la ksuba, she does not get a ksuba lo peres lo mazonos lo blaos, v'kshera, even though she is still kshera, uvla de kasher, and the child is going to be kasher, v'kofenos halahotzi, but we still would force them to get divorced, because at the end of the day, they're still living in sin, it's still an iser for them to be married to each other. So, Amar Shimon Elazar, why is it that when it's Nisidah Raisa that they're married to each other, she's going to get her ksuba, she'll be entitled to her ksuba, v'pnei shehu pasul v'hi psula, since he's going to be pasul avoda, and she's going to be pasul to kohanim from this relationship, v'kal makom shehu pasul v'hi psula, the rule is whenever he's going to be pasul and she's going to be pasul from this relationship, chansu oso ksuba, we punish him, we penalize him that he's got to pay her ksuba when they're both going to be pasul from this marriage. Now, Tosfos points out, Lav Dafka, both pasul from this marriage. Tosfos in the bottom over here, Kol Malkum Shehu Pasul V'Yipsul Pirush B'Kuntrus Shehu Pasul Shenosei Al Saba Aveira Kedam Mucharus V'Lotra Vayu Bayi. You don't really need both of them. Eli Im Hu Pasul O Hi Psula Kansuoso. If either he or she is pasul, they'll make him pay the ksuba. The lo margalole, kiven de mifsel b'hachli chad minayu kedar musamach memzeres nesine kibinayu. Because in that case where someone's going to be pasul, we assume that they don't have strong motivation to want to be married, because by being married it's causing a psul in themselves. So therefore we can say it's okay, they'll have to pay the ksuba, even though it's a marriage be'isr, because they're already suffering from this marriage. So the Rabbanu were kones, that he'll have to pay the ksuba. And why is it that when the relationship is only one of shnios midivrei sofrim, there's no ksuba, she does not get a ksuba? Because they're otherwise not suffering over here. They're both remaining kasher. The woman and the man are both remaining kasher in the marriage. kansuo saksuba, and whenever he's kosher and she's kosher, so they're kones the woman not to receive the ksuba when they're both kosher. So that's the first explanation of why it is. We're gonna have potentially three, definitely two, potentially three explanations as to why it is that when their marriage is nisidor raisa, the guy that she'll still get a ksuba, but when the marriage is only nisid rabbanan, she won't get a ksuba. Now, when we said who pasul, Rashi says that he's pasul avoda, because the kohen who marries a woman that's asur to him becomes pasul avoda until he's nodra hana from her. The Mishnah says m'saks b'choros, and since he's pasul, we don't need to make a knas that she doesn't get a ksuba, because he's pasul al yada. We assume that's going to be enough of a reason to cause them to fight and to cause them to argue and to ultimately get divorced. Even you see, the whole point of a ksuba is shlote kalabein of lotzia. The purpose of a ksuba is to try to make it difficult to get divorced. Otherwise, people are just going to get angry at their wives in the first fight. They won't lose anything by just getting divorced. So the chacham institute, or daraisa, the chacham institute, the amount, whether it's daraisa, drabana, machlok, tanaim, but the institution of ksuba is to see to it that he can't just get divorced without thinking, because it's going to come with a hefty price. So he's going to have to think a little bit before he gets divorced. That's the whole idea of ksuba, shlotei kalabein of lotzia. So in a case, so we should be very concerned about keeping the ksuba in place when we want them to get divorced. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Yeah, but if they're going to get divorced anyway, meaning they'll be motivated to get divorced anyway because it's causing them all sorts of problems, they're going to fight anyway because the husband's going to realize she's ruining me. She's literally bringing me down, meaning she's turning my whole status. She's changing my whole status. So anyway, they'll fight, and then he'll pay the price of the ksuba. So there's no reason to get rid of the ksuba. The Tosos just asked Rashi that later on the Gemara is going to say that a bu'ula l'kohen gadol is considered hu kasher v'hik shera, because bechayav yasei, she doesn't become a zona, and her children don't become pasul. According to Rashi, why isn't that called that he's pasul? He's marrying an isha ba'avera, and he's nifsa la'avoda by marrying an isha ba'avera. So it shouldn't make a difference whether it's chayav elavin or chayav yasei. He's pasul la'avoda either way when he's married to someone that he's not allowed to marry. So Tosa says, no, hu pasul means that zaro nifsal. It means that the children are going to become pasul. Hipsula means that she herself becomes a chalala with the bia, not like Rashi that he psula means he ubaneha and hu pasul means him for the avoda. No, hu pasul means the children. Hipsula means herself, the woman herself. So from Tosus, though, we see that a kohen that marries an isha that's aser to him, even with only nisra say, is also pasul la avoda space amigdash, and that's why that was the foundation of Tosus' whole kasha on Rashi. The Nitziv points out, how would Rashi defend himself? He would assume that's not true, that a kohen does not become pasul to do avoda in the base amigdash unless he marries a woman where the bia is going to create chalalus, that the children are going to be chalalim from that. If this relationship is enough to be mechal the children to avoda, then it's enough to be mechal the man from doing the avoda, so long as this relationship continues. But if it's not enough to be mechal the children, then it's not enough to be mechal him either. If it's only nasei where the children aren't going to be chalalim, husband's not going to be chalal either. So that's a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos over here in terms of what would possible a man from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. So again, that was approach number one. Why is it that you lose the ksuba when you marry Shnios Midrisofim is only a Dirabanan, but there's no loss of Ksuba when marrying an Issa Daraisa, because by the Issa Daraisa, they're both Psulim anyway, so we'll make him still pay the Ksuba. By the Issa Dirabanan, no one's going to become Pasul, so we don't make them pay the Ksuba. Rebbe Omer, Halalu Divrei Torah, V'Divrei Torah Ein Tzrichim Chizik, V'Halalu Divrei Sofim, V'Divrei Sofim Tzrichim Chizik. Rebbe says the explanation we mentioned yesterday is the Pasha Pshat, that when sometimes we're more strict with Dinim Dirabanan than we are with Dinim Daraisa, because Dinim Daraisa, people already take seriously. It's something that we don't have to be so protective of sometimes, because we know that people already take it seriously enough. When it comes to Dinim Drabanan, though, people may not take it seriously enough, and therefore the Chachamim had to be extra strict on Dinim Drabanan. So Shnios Midivrei Sofim, we were extra strict that she loses Uksuba, lest people not take the Isser of Shnios seriously enough. Davar Acher, so that's the question, what this Davar Acher is, the Gemara is about to discuss. who says this davar acher, but davar acher zehu margila vizu he margila so. That it really depends on who would be the one to try to get the other one to marry them in this iser. If the husband is the one that's pushing for this marriage, so we're going to make a knas that he's going to have to pay the ksuba. If the wife is the one that would be pushing for this marriage, then she's going to be the one that's punished that she doesn't receive the ksuba. If you look at Rashi, zehu margila almanu kohen gadol grusha v'chalutz el kohen hediot. Who margila? He's the one that tries to get her to marry him. Umasisa linasilo vizu shnia, but by the shnia dekimin delo I mifsala v'lav zara mifsal. By the shnia, the woman loses nothing by marrying this man. She's not going to become pasul. Her children won't become pasul. V'lo mifsal midi bibiaso. So he margila so. Then we assume she's the one that tries to get him to marry her, because whenever there's no reason why anyone should try to get the other one to marry them more than the other, meaning they're on equal footing, we always assume it's the woman that wants to get married more than the man, because Tavla Mesav Tandu, a woman always has more of a desire to get married. So in a case of Shnios, neither one of them actually loses from the marriage, so we assume she's the one that's pushing for the marriage, and therefore she loses her ksuba. In the case of Alman al-Kohen Gadol, we assume he's the one pushing for the marriage, because she doesn't want to get married to this guy. It's going to be mischalal her, it's not going to change his status, it's going to make her a chalala, it's going to make her children chalalim. She doesn't want to ruin herself and her children, so would be the husband who would be pushing for the marriage. So that's the davar acher, that which sounds like a third pshat. Says in our davar acher man katanila. Who said this davar acher? Meaning we had Reb Shimon Elazar, we had Rebbe. So was it either of the previous Tanaim that said it? Igada am Reb Shimon Elazar katanila. Some say it's Reb Shimon Elazar that said this davar acher. Umatam ka'amar. And Reb Shimon Elazar was saying it as a matam. He's giving an explanation. Matam amru. Who pasled the ipsula kansu osuksuba? What he's explaining is, why is it that when they're both going to be puzzled as a result of this marriage, the husband does not pay the husband has to pay the ksuba? Mipreisha hu margila, because the husband is the one that's pushing for this aser marriage. Umatam hu kasher v'ikshei rokansu osa ksuba. And why is it that when nobody is ruined from the marriage, she will not receive the ksuba? Mipreisha hi margila so, because she's the one that's been pushing for that, pushes for the marriage in that case. So says Gemara, ikada amar. Others say no. This davar acher was not authored by Reb Shimon Elazar. Rebbe katanila. It was Rebbe who said it. The chalutza kokashale, and he had a problem with chalutza. Meaning Rebbe's explanation was that it's all a chiluk between daraisas and darabanans. That when it's an issue on a daraisa level, we could assume everyone takes it sufficiently seriously that we don't need to make any additional knasa, so we can leave the ksuba in place. But when it's only an issar on a darabanan level, we're worried that people don't take it seriously enough, so we need to affect the ksuba. So he said, oh yeah, what about chalutza? V'chalutza d'rabanan v'isla ksuba. Chalutza is only to a kohen, is only nisa d'rabanan, and still we're going to say, we say in our Mishnah, that a chalutza to a kohen still gets her ksuba. So hadar amar, kibin de pasula that mitruma midrabanan zeu margila v'zuhi margila so. So that's why he explains the davar acher, that since it is going to affect her, it's going to ruin her from having truma, so we assume he's going to be the one that's pushing for the marriage, she's not going to be the one that's pushing for the marriage, because it is going to ruin her in some way, and therefore she's not going to lose her ksuba by the case of chalutza. Now from this gemara it sounds like it's a davar pashud that the issur of chalutza l'kohen is only an issur midrabanan. Rashi points out that even though the gemara in Kiddushin Ayin Ches says that we learn from chalutza from a special riboy in the pasuk, v'isha gerusha me'isha lo yikaflu, the first vav is extra in the pasuk, it could have said isha, why did it say v'isha? So it comes to be l'rabos chalutza. Rashi says, yeah, that's only an asmachta. That's not a real drasha. It's only a derabanan. However, Rashi Maseches Makos in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph writes, chalutza is asur to a kohen midaraisa. Tosfos asks from the Gemara in Kiddushin that says chalutza is derabanan across machta bialma. Tosfos there asks, how can you say it's daraisa? You have our Gemara, you have in Kiddushin where it sounds like it's an asmachta bialma. That's how Rashi explains that it's an asmachta bialma. So the Aruch Lener explains that the Rashi must assume that it's a machlokas between the two Lashonos and our Gemara over here, whether Chalutza is Daraisa or not. Because the first Lashon that said that the Davar Acher was authored by Reb Shimon Elazar, so you don't need to say Chalutza is the Rabbanan. It's only according to the second Lashon that says that Rebbe Katanila, that Rebbe says that this Davar Acher, Rebbe's the one that discusses whether who Margila or he Margila so. That's only because he's bothered by chalutza, and that's only if chalutza is midrabanan. So it could be that it's a machlokas already in the Tanaim, whether a chalutza is nisr daraisa or a chalutza is nisr midrabanan. So my ika ben Rebbe, the Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. What's the nafkamina between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar? Meaning my nafkamina, whether the issue of that distinguishes the Yisurim daraisa to the Shneos Arayas, where the Yisurim daraisa get the ksuba, the Shneos Arayas don't get the ksuba, is just purely a derabanan versus a daraisa issue, or whether it's someone becoming pasul versus nobody becoming pasul kind of issue. So Gemara says there are five nafkamina, five suggestions of nafkaminas between them that will take us all the way to the Mishnah. Amar of Chistam, Mamzeres Unesina li Yisrael li Kibinayim. Nafkamina would be, what about the case of a Mamzeres Unesina married to Yisrael? Mandi Amar Daraisa, Nami Daraisa. If you can say that whenever the problem is a Daraisa problem, there's still going to be a Ksuba, so there will be a Ksuba here as well. Mandi Amar Neshu Hu Margila Hahi Margilalei. But if you say that it's all because when he's the one that's pushing for the marriage, he's going to have to pay the Ksuba. Over here, she's the one that would be pushing for the marriage. She's the one with the problem, and her problem doesn't get any worse when she marries him. According to Rabbi Lazar, that the children are always going to be problematic, she's not going to push for the marriage. I mean, Rabbi Lazar holds that there's no way to be mitar mamzerim. We always assume la halacha that the way to be mitar mamzerim is have the mamzer marry a shivcha, and then the children will be miyuchas after her. Rabbi Lazar holds no, the children will be miyuchas after both of them. It will be an eved mamzer. You'll have the worst of both worlds. So according to that, she would never want to push for such a marriage because her children are going to be ruined. Ella Amar Rav Yosef, so rather Rav Yosef says, oh, I've got a different nafkamina. Machzer grusha mishenisei sikaminayu. The nafkamina is if a person is machzer grushaso after she already married someone else in between. Mandi Amar Daraisa Nami Daraisa. That's certainly an issa Daraisa, and therefore, if you're concerned only whether it's Daraisa or not, he's still going to have to pay the ksuba. Uman Amar Neshu Hu Margila Hahi Margilalei. But if the issue is that he's going to be Margil her, that only he's only going to have to pay the ksuba when he's the one pushing for this marriage, no, in this case, she's going to be the one pushing for this marriage because no one becomes pasul from this marriage. So she's going to be the one that would be encouraging the marriage, and therefore she should lose the ksuba. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that even Chayav Elavin create Mamzeris, then she would not be pushing for the marriage because she's concerned about her children. She does not want her children to be Mamzerim. So then what are you going to say? So Ella, third possible Nafkamina. Ella, Amrav Papa, Bu'ula L'Koyin Gadol, Ika Benayu. Nafkamina is a Bu'ula L'Koyin Gadol. Mandi Amr Dal Raisa, Hanami Dal Raisa. The Yisra of a Bu'ula L'Koyin Gadol is an Yisra Dal Raisa. So that's, that would mean she would get her Ksuba according to Rabbi Shimon. Umandam Neshahu Margila, but if you assume that it's about him being Margil, not according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rebbe, but if you assume that it's Hu Margila, that it's about him being Margil her, Ha Hi Margilalei. But when it comes to Bu'ula the Kohen Gadol, she's going to be the one that's Margil him to marry her. So says Mar Lavazman Yaakov Damar Yesh Chalom Mechayav Yasei. Now Bu'ula Kohen Gadol is only in Yisra Sei. It's not in Yisra Lav. If we're in Yisra Lav, the children will be Chalalim. And remember, the woman's mindset is that she always wants to get married unless it's going to affect her children. If it's going to affect her children, she's not interested. So we're assuming that when Kohen Gadol marries a Bu'ula, it's not going to affect the children. It's only in Yisra Sei. Says Gemara, yeah, but what if you hold it does affect the children? According to Rabbi Lazman Yaakov, that there's a chalal from Chayav Yasei that the children are going to be chalalim. She's not going to be pushing for him to marry her. She doesn't want children who are chalalim, and therefore she should still receive her ksuba. So it would not be enough gemina. It's a daraisa. And it's Hilo Margulalei. So she should still receive her ksuba. Ella, fourth nafkamina, Ravashi, Machzir Safek Sotaso Ika Benayu. Nafkamina is if a guy takes back a Safek Sota, a woman who is suspected of cheating on him. Mandiam Daraisa, Nami Daraisa. That is Nisa Daraisa of Safek Sota. Umanyam Neshu Humargila, Hahi Margulalei. But it's still the assumption is that she's the one that's pushing for the marriage by Safek Sota. Says Gemara the Rabbi Nasi ben Charish Tamar Afilu Halach Balu Lashkosa Ubal Badarach Asa Zona halo margala levelo midi. But if you assume like the opinion that even if the husband goes to be mashka her, goes to give her the mesota, and he's boel her on the way, be'isr, where he's not allowed to, so it makes her a zona, so then she's not going to be pushing for the marriage because she'd rather drink first, so not to apostle herself lukuhuna, and before being with him. So Ella rather says the Gemara, fifth nafkamina and final nafkamina, Ella Amr Mar Baravashi, Sota Vadei Igabinayu. Case of a Sota Vadei, an Eishas Ish is Mezana, and we know she's Mezana, meaning when we think of Sota, we normally use the word Sota to describe the woman who's going to have to go drink the magical potion that's going to. No, but Sota Vadei means she's not going to have to drink because we know what she is. We know that she cheated on her husband. So then she's Asumidar Raisa, because Vihilo Nitpasa, that whenever a woman is not raped and she sleeps with another man, she becomes Asur to her husband. So that's an Nisr Daraisa on the husband, but she's still going to be the one pushing for the marriage, and that's the nafkamina that the Gemara settles on. Okay, but tomorrow we will pick up at the Mishnah.